Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
Oh, the Joker, baby!
Welcome to the bracket.
We gotta leave that in.
Welcome to LCB Season 2, Episode 786. I am Ken Jack. There's Gooch to my left. Today, we're gonna be doing a couple news items. We actually have a decent chunk going on right now, which is interesting. Nice, because I feel like Thursday, usually, we don't get a ton. You know what I mean? Like, we'll compile shit, and we usually talk about it on Tuesdays. We'll get a lot today. And then we're going to be doing a draft of, we're basically going to fill out our own personal James Bond movies, which should be fun. We're going to be drafting a director, a Bond, an M, Q, villain, love interest, and MISC. And that is off the back of what we could honestly make our first news item, which it was pretty cool. Basically, James Cameron said he would love.
James Cameron? No, not.
Dude, it's more an early money.
What is going
Christopher
on?
Nolan. Christopher Nolan said he would love to do a James Bond movie and said like how it's so obvious and apparent how much they influence his work, which is true. You go and watch almost any of his movies, you might think like, oh, this is great sci-fi, but so much of it really is espionage and like spy throw stuff, car chases, beautiful woman and suave man and all that shit. So it's very apparent and it'll be awesome, obviously. And you mentioned right before we started, put the fucking broccolis into a box.
Yeah, I mean, this, obviously everyone is going to want this. Like, even if you're a Nolan hater, it's just a great fit. Like, it really is just a perfect fit. But now, if the Broccolis, which if you don't know who the Broccolis are, they're the family that owns the rights to Ian Fleming's work. So they pretty much call all the shots. They're like the Jerry Jones of the movie world, where they love their franchise, but they may be a little too involved in it.
They're dumb.
So if they don't make this deal done, which, I mean, good chance this doesn't happen, but hopefully it does. But if it doesn't happen, people are just going to be upset now. So hopefully they can get the ball rolling. I don't need him to do a full trilogy or like a full run of a single Bond character, but one movie, come on, make it happen.
Yeah, I think it would be amazing because, again, of his obvious ability to do this type of thing. He's proof positive in all of his movies that were mega financially and critically successful, like all of Nolan's movies, which is again why he's like the biggest unicorn in cinema. Like, there's plenty of directors that can make movies that are financially successful, plenty of ones that can do critical. Very few appease both and destroy the box office, and that's just Nolan. And the Broccolis, I mean, I think they did a great job getting Craig. Craig was a great Bond, and people shit on them for picking, or not for them. I'm not sure if there was a direct first choice, but like for picking him, they ate a lot of shit, and they're mostly wrong. Because Casino Royale is one of the best Bond movies ever. Skyfall, one of the best Bond movies ever. The other two, a little affected by a strike and other problems, but
yeah,
good movies.
I think Mendez was okay. Yeah, Mendez did a really good job.
Mendez was perfect at it.
Yeah. And yeah, they got. I would assume most of our listeners don't remember.
They got torched.
They got it was like the biggest story in the movie and TV world for a full year after Daniel Craig got selected. Like, it was a big deal that he was blonde. Like, that was the big thing. Yeah, he was blonde and short. Like, people fucking lost their minds. Then he just turned out I mean, he pretty much changed everyone's mind in the first 5 minutes of Casino Royale, that parkour scene. Uh-huh. Everyone was like, all right, yeah, yeah.
It was way cooler than the Pierce Brosnan Bond. Because like all the other Bonds, like they don't really lose much. You know what I mean? Like they kind of just keep winning, and the Craig Bond gets the shit beat out of him.
Fucking balls tore.
His balls destroyed by Mads Mikkelsen. And like seeing him as like a more he's more of an everyman Bond, I guess. You know what I mean? Like you could relate more to him than you can Pierce Brosnan fucking every hot girl in the entire universe.
Dark, gritty Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like the Pierce. I know there's a lot of people in our office because like just of how old they are huge Pierce Brosnan defenders. I do not. I don't care for those Bonds, and I usually love like the camp and the cheese, but that just it doesn't work for me. I don't think they hold up very well at all.
It's Connor and Craig for me.
Yeah, yeah, Connery is so good.
Or Connery, yeah,
yeah.
I mean that this all came. The Nolan news came from him doing an interview for Oppenheimer, which is now sitting at 92% as of this morning. I think you're seeing it tonight. I'm seeing it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'm seeing Barbie Dolby at 6:30, mm-hmm. and then Oppenheimer IMAX 70mm at 11:30. So I'm gonna have a little bit of a break. Probably rip like a full pack of cigarettes or something.
If it's a movie.
I also would love this if this just becomes Nolan's like thing now. Now that he left Warner Brothers and then he's doing this with Universal releasing Oppenheimer. If he just goes from studio, I mean, every studio wants to work with him. Like you said, he's a unicorn where he can do it appeals to prestige audiences and critical audiences as well as it does like the mass. So I think every studio would empty their wallets for him.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer is going to turn a profit, I think. Like, probably turn a pretty big profit. I don't know what their budget was, but I know it's tracking for like $50 million domestic this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll actually go well over that from just talking to people. So if he just goes from studio to studio like a merchant, like becomes like a Deion Sanders.
Like a
just,
mercenary.
Yeah, just going from studio to studio, directing. Maybe do a little IP. I know... I saw that was like the big pushback I saw on this was people don't want Nolan to waste his time doing IP, but
I mean, he made the best Batman.
Exactly. And like what he did with Batman was he reinvented that genre. I mean, he changed what you can do with IP. I think he could do something completely different and elevate it
and help the spy genre too. Cause like that is such a not tapped into well genre right now. It sucks.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's
you get the fucking ghosted and shit like that. You know,
gray
what I mean?
Man,
like the gray like, man. Yeah. Like what you really need is something that can make it more elevated, which is what we talked about with like Secret Invasion, which, by the way, that I think we talked about in the last maybe in the last episode. The fact that they spent over $200 million on that show is fucking obscene.
Did you see the cameo?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, so if you're I'm assuming you're not watching this show. Yeah. And I couldn't even tell you the name of the character, but someone was like, oh, wow, look, it's Alan from Black Widow.
A weapons dealer from Black Widow.
Like showed up and that was like one of their big cameos. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, come on, Marvel, you're better than this.
It was bad. And again, like, but they were able to show, I think, with Winter Soldier, like, hey, this espionage shit, it still plays, still does well. And some other movies in between, like, I think maybe we'll talk about more with the Bond stuff, like Guy Ritchie with A Man from U.N.C.L.E., like stuff like that.
Yeah.
It can work very well. And if no one can give you proof positive, like, hey, this is a lucrative genre where you can do something new.
Yeah. And if you do something different, I'm thinking like Kingsman, like the first one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Say what you want about the second one. Obviously a big step down, but the first one. I always forget the Kingsman with the Adolf Hitler tease.
The Adolf Hitler tease was so fucking funny at the end of that, where he walks in, he's like, "What's your name?" Hitler, Adolf Hitler.
Matthew Vaughn, you're so much better than that. Yeah. You really are. I'm excited for the next one whenever it comes out. But the first one did something new and different, and I mean, there's a thirst for that for the genre. I think, and it has mass appeal. Like it appeals to. Spy genre appeals to the critical crowd. It appeals to the mass audience. So, yeah, I think this is just a great fit. I really hope this does happen.
Yeah, me
empty
too.
Out your checkbook. I know the Broccoli family has all the money in the world. So just empty out your checkbook and make it happen.
And the next one was James Cameron said that the weaponization of AI is the biggest danger. He said, I warned you guys in 1984 and you didn't listen. He was correct. Add that to the list of the victory columns for James Cameron, who is... Again, people like to talk shit about him, think he's an asshole. He is right 100% of the time. Never lost. He never lost once.
I really just hope like every we just find blue aliens one day and James Cameron's still alive and he's just like, guys, I fucking told you.
Or someone tells a true lie and he's like, fucking? See that shit? He's, I mean, again, this is just one of the great, one of the reasons why he's so great. They're like, James Cameron, dickhead, absolute dickhead, right, 100% of the time. Literally never wrong. And the funniest example being the fucking...
The bow is... that bow video is... Ever since I first saw it, it's been in my mind for the past month. So, like, it's so funny that he just did it. It's so funny that they had it on video. Because when the person posted the... He's like... This person said he couldn't shoot... Like, this Olympic archer said they couldn't shoot the bow like that.
It's not possible.
It's not possible, James. It's not possible. You can't do that. And he just picked up the bow and did it.
In the first try.
And he got it on video, like... So funny, dude! He's in his stupid fucking Fox dirt bike shirt.
This is just why he's the best.
Oh my gosh, he's such a ridiculous. He's just a troll. He's not even a dickhead. I think he's just like a troll.
I would love to see him and Nolan team up on something. I mean, can you imagine those two working on the same project? Too big egos are too big to work together, even in any way. But like, goddamn, would it be a good movie or project? The Haunting in Venice dropped its trailer. We got Kenneth Branagh back as everyone's favorite Hercule Poirot, Michelle Yeoh, Jamie Dornan, and Tina Fey, Kyle Allen, the quarterback one time of the Browns, right?
Something like that. Was Kyle Allen the one that Katy Perry got really horny over? No, that was Travis Knight.
The quarterback?
Yeah. You don't remember when Katy Perry went on college football, game day?
Well, no, college I don't remember day? That. Now I gotta watch.
Oh, and she was like...
Katy Perry has a deep lore that is very strange. Like, she is a bizarre. You ever see her Halloween setup?
Her and what?
Her Halloween costumes.
No.
She's one of the funniest, like, just fucking histories of Halloween costumes I've ever seen in my life. She went as a flaming hot Cheeto. And then went as Bill and Hillary with Orlando Bloom.
That's so cursed. Oh, my God.
That's Orlando Bloom and that's her. It's fucking absurd. Like, she's just a weird person. And then, obviously, the video of, was it her... in the head or whatever. Do you ever see that? I think it was like some sort of nightly show. They did a bit where like they had people coming in and like opening up the chef. What do you call that thing? The dome? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the silver dome.
They open up the silver dome and it's Katy Perry's head. And she's like, hey, what's up? It's me, Katy Perry. And everyone's just like, eh.
What the fuck? I mean, she's still the most followed person on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, and it's just fucking...
It's very...
just a weird human.
One of the weirdest runs in music history of all time. Like, she was the number one artist for like 7 years straight and then just fell off the map.
Banana, and she was American. She did Migos, right? She did a song with the Migos and it was really weird. If I remember right.
I don't know.
She's a fucking weird dude. And again, I need to go. That would be a great deep dive. Just going down the lore of Katy Perry with her name spelled K-A-T-Y. She's really.
Does that bother you?
Yes.
How are you supposed to spell Katie?
K-A-T-I-E? Like every other human on earth?
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think? Like Katie, like a town, Katie? Isn't there a town named Katie, right?
Katie, Texas.
Yeah, Katie. Right? I thought it was Texas, and I was like, I'm not going to say that because I'm going to be wrong. But anyway, that's been Katy Perry news. Haunting in Venice, like, these movies make money, which is the most, like, the reason they're still in existence. Like, I think the first one made it, like, double or triple its budget back. The last one at least made double. And I'd love to see just the demographics of the people that go to the theater for this.
Has to be old,
like insanely skewed old. Like I would guess like 80%. No, maybe that's too aggressive, but like 70% of the audience is over 50.
Yeah.
I would guess.
It's a shame. Cause like you would like, these should be good. Cause Agatha Christie novels are just inherently great, but they're not good. They're boring. And Rian Johnson is just making a franchise that is so heavily Agatha Christie inspired and so much better.
Blowing it out of the water. It's like
the same exact time.
And it's just like this. And like it's just adding him into a new group of superstars, wasting everybody's time. It's just weird.
Someone posted and was like, I'm glad Kenneth Branagh got the emotional retrospective film out of the way so he could get back to what he loves to do.
Which, by the way, he cast the kid who played him in Belfast in this movie. I just saw on the IMDb.
Yeah, and brought Jamie Dornan back.
Jamie Dornan. Yeah, that's right. He just cast. Wait, who else was it? Dame Judi Dench. She already in one of these, I'm pretty sure. I don't really remember. But I feel like she would have been in one of these. I
feel like she would have been in Murder.
Yeah. But they're bad movies. Like, some critics like them, I'm sure. But it's just like that. Again, like Gooch said, like the fact that there is just a concurrently running franchise that blows them out of the water is really rough for the murder mystery genre.
It did get the trailer. I do like the trailer. It's just like
I know it's not going to be good.
I liked the Murder on the Orient Express trailer, too. Like I remember being very excited for that movie. Yeah. And then it was awful. It's just boring, dude. It's like one of those movies you actually might fall asleep in the theater to.
Really boring.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode releases 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom has gone through 3 rounds of reshoots, 2 cut Batmans, and... after the second one, they cut Batman because they got like a mixed testing score because they had the Ben Affleck Batman. And now they went through the third one. They're getting better reception on this last round of reshoots. This movie's going to suck, I think, really bad. Like, I just can't even imagine the brain of James Gunn right now, where he's at, where he just needs to go out and be like, fucking Blue Beetle, man. Blue Beetle's coming out. And then I was going to have to be like, yeah, Aquaman 2, guys. Yeah, get pumped up. Come to the theater for Aquaman 2. And like, he knows they're all bad.
They just need to take the L. And they do just, I think they need to just start dropping this shit on Max. Like, the shit that's not connected to the DCU.
Exactly.
Quit confusing the general audience. Like, don't confuse the general audience any more than you have to. And don't waste your money marketing these movies. Because like, people are going to see I think Blue Beetle's going to bomb pretty fucking hard.
And their budget couldn't have even been that big, could it? Oh, boy.
I would guess. I guess like 70 to 80 million. No, probably about 100, be honest. Now they think, because the suit's
120 million.
Jesus. There's not even a big actor in that. God damn.
It's like George Lopez is the biggest actor in that.
How does that cost 120? Jesus.
No chance it makes that back.
Yeah, and then Aquaman's going to be an insane budget because...
Yeah.
Because of all these reshoots. Like, if you don't know why these are going through reshoots, the test screenings have gone terribly. Like, awful. Like, people keep saying this is going to be an absolute dumpster fire. James Wan, people behind the scenes are saying this is the worst experience he's ever had making a movie. And he did Furious 7, and he fucking hated that. He hated that experience before Paul Walker died. So, like, this is just a mess of a movie. I mean, the first one made $1 billion, so I guess the audience is somewhat there.
Internationally, for sure.
But now, you got the reboot, a bad DC movie.
That was also
the Flash. Blue Beetle's got to be really good for the people to get excited again for DC movies. Like, they need a hit before this comes out. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. Like, I think they should honestly just don't waste your money marketing. Just drop it on Max. Just be through with it. Just be through with this fucking universe. Mm-hmm. Be through with the DCEU. Get over it. I don't know.
Over $200 million on this one. I wonder what the splits.
I do somewhat feel bad for Jason Momoa. Because while I don't think he's a fantastic actor, I do think he's a great Aquaman and fits well.
Yeah.
He's very charismatic and he's just losing his marquee character.
Yeah. It's one of those things, the ultimate, like, it is what it is. Let's see. Domestic all time. Oh, okay. I mean, it got eighth and... I don't see a world in which this ends up good just based off of these early things. Although, to be fair, these are the same test audiences that said The Flash was the greatest movie of all time.
So it's true.
Maybe but these people just have like a fucking missing...
I have read up on the test screenings about The Flash because I was so confused about like what the fuck happened. Apparently, the whole back third of the movie was different.
Yeah.
Like, so, super spoilers real quick. Supergirl doesn't die. Batman doesn't die. You don't have that weird George Clooney cameo. It was just like a different movie in the back third. So, and then you also have the caveat of when you're doing a test screening, they tell you these VFX aren't finished.
Yeah.
So you kind of like excuse those VFX that were, I mean, the worst VFX I've seen in 20 years for a major release.
Like, yeah.
So I can somewhat get, I still don't understand how they got even that
if the
eye.
VFX were better, I don't think it makes it that much better in the movie.
And if the back third was better, I still don't really get how they say it's the best movie since The Dark Knight, but whatever.
Yeah, then you're
besides that. Yeah, I mean, I think they're just trying to get this Aquaman movie to a releasable point.
Yeah,
I think they're just trying to salvage what they can and get just be through with it.
Yeah, actually, wait, fucking Temuera Morrison was in The Flash. I forgot about that when he calls him and asks him about Aquaman. I completely forgot about that. Also, The Flash and Aquaman had a very funny cameo in Peacemaker. Do you remember that? The last episode?
Yeah.
That was very funny. He's like, well, you do fuck fish or something like that.
Yeah, but they never show their bodies or their face.
No, they show their bodies, but they don't show Superman and Wonder Woman or something like that. They, I believe, were there. But fucking, it's just... it's rough. I can't wait to see. I think we need for the DC universe, and I'm not sure how it's going to work out, like a very firm break. Because we've been watching like these corpses being thrown out into the theaters, and like having like it being one or two times is bad. But it is so many movies, like what we did, The Flash, Shazam, this, Blue Beetle. Like it's so many movies of this dead franchise just being thrown out in the wind. I feel like we need like a year break from DC movies. And like to help build up the hype a little bit more excitement.
They won't have anything in toy. They don't have anything in the books for 2024 outside of like Peacemaker.
Which is good. I mean, that can be done pretty quickly.
Next year or later this year, maybe. But I think it's next year. Outside of that, though, I don't. Because the first movie is going to be Superman Legacy. Yeah. And that's 2025.
Yeah,
and so, the Batman is going to be 2025 at this point too.
And that's going to be perfect because in the meantime, Marvel's going to be probably pumping out more garbage. And like it's just going to be like. Everyone's being like, okay, Marvel sucks now. Marvel sucks now. Let's just wait to see James Gunn's DC.
But does that help them or does that hurt them? Is Marvel like simultaneously not only killing their brand, but the entire comic? Like, I feel like they're killing the comic book movie genre.
So right there's now. There's two, I think, two ways to look at it. You could look at it as them flooding the genre, like, and making it oversaturated, which is already the point. It's already at the oversaturated point. And I feel like people are still, even now, when we're even past that, excited to see what James Gunn's universe is about. So I think with a year break from DC, people will be like just kind of meddling through Marvel and then waiting to see what DC can do, which actually bleeds into the next news thing too, which is that Captain America, Shuri and Shang-Chi are going to be the leaders of the new Avengers and Avengers Kang Dynasty. Captain America being, what do you call it? Hawk or what's this? What's the character's name?
Falcon?
Yeah. What's Falcon's actual name?
Anthony Mack.
No, not the human. The character.
Sam Wilson.
Sam Wilson, yeah. So like them three are going to be the ones running the next iteration of the Avengers, which is just a massive fart.
I'm sorry, but like, stinks. Come on.
Like,
come on.
Shang-Chi's cool. Captain America. Here's the thing. The Falcon is cool. As him as Captain America, we'll see. Shuri, I think Lilita Wright was the such a bad choice as the new Black Panther. It should have been Lupita Nyong'o every single fucking day, twice on Sundays, or whatever the saying is. She would have been so much better. And like that would be something that would get me more excited. I think Lilita Wright stunk as...
Letitia,
whatever, dude. She fucking stunk.
She was terrible.
She stunk as Black Panther. She's not right for that role. It's like watching... We were talking about James Bond. It would be like watching like fucking Q become James Bond. You know what I mean? It makes no fucking sense. And like, I just don't get it. I think that these three are not... the correct group to you need one legacy.
I think Shang-Chi makes sense. I don't know. I've never been a Sam Wilson guy. I'll be honest. I think he works good as a sidekick to Captain America.
All these characters are better as sidekicks. Like Shang-Chi maybe, but like at least his movie was
how is Spider-Man not in that lineup?
Yeah, that's a great question.
That doesn't make sense. Cause like that's even in the comic books, like Spider-Man ends up becoming a leader at points.
The fact that there's no legacy from the old Avengers character in here, it just hurts really bad because the original Black Panther obviously can't be done. Would have been great. Like the original Captain America would be great. It's just like an elevated sidekick character, which is the Falcon turning into Winter Soldier, and then an elevated like brain guy turning into a main character. Like none of that screams main franchise.
Let's go through. I want to look at the characters that are just left on the board at this point.
Like, I don't think you could do Thor. I don't think you could do like.
You could do Thor. I think he wants to keep doing it.
I think he wants to do it in the Avengers universe or in a different one. I just don't know what it is. None of these guys really have.
Do they really
Avengers powers?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, you really need the Fantastic Four.
Captain America has, like, he's not even a super soldier, Sam Wilson. He just has the gadgets.
Yeah, that is still weird. I kept waiting for that to happen in the series.
Yeah.
Felt like for him to get the, and they just didn't do it.
He just has the gadgets. Shang-Chi also doesn't have superpowers. He just has the Ten Rings, presumably. So I guess that would be a good superpower. But I don't know if he uses them or rejects them because of the whole thing with his dad. And then Shuri just has the suit. I don't know.
I think it might just be time to put a nix on like your Marvel characters for a little bit, or not Marvel entirely, but the remaining MCU characters you have. Wait for the Fantastic Four, wait for X-Men.
Exactly. And then
they probably can't do that because they have these contracts set up with these actors and directors where they have to, you know, do multiple films with these people. But I mean, like, this is just uninspired. It's just like they can't honestly expect these like that to make money, can they?
I don't, especially with the Jonathan Majors thing still ongoing too. Like, I don't get how that comes together in a viable sense of, in any way. Like, you know what I mean? Especially not like, it's not going to come close to either Infinity War or Avengers, or I would guess with this group so far, Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
It'd probably be first Avengers movie, but like, it needs a break. And I think, like you're saying, like Fantastic Four would be, even though it's in the MCU, like that would feel like a fresh break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would feel fresh, not like, you know, again, like we're talking about throwing out the corpses. Like that's what this feels like more at this point.
Yeah. And I'm sure people are like yelling like, oh, well, we started with Iron Man. He wasn't like a big, people oversell how small of a character he is. Not like, he's not Spider-Man or Wolverine or X-Man, like, as people like to say.
That was a unicorn situation.
He's still like a top 12 Marvel character. This isn't, Shang-Chi's down the list. Sam Wilson's Captain America down the list. Like Shuri, Black Panther down the, like those are not, you're not kicking off anything with, I just don't see it.
Yeah. It's just a bizarre situation for them. And I don't know what the fix is. Just Disney still wants to make money and they're still going to pump them out no matter what. Even if like the main people didn't want to do them, they would just fucking find someone else.
Get to the fucking Fantastic. Like they announced this fucking movie 5 years ago.
And X-Men.
We still don't have a casting.
I guess Deadpool is the one I'm most excited for out of the.
Yeah, but he doesn't really work with a team.
Yeah.
He's not a team guy.
No. I don't mean like him as an Avenger. Yeah. I mean like that's out of all the current MCU slate. Like it would have been Blade, but Blade has been a fucking disaster. Like, fuck. What else is on? Was it Phase 6 that this is all going to be?
Right. Yeah, we're in Phase 5 right now, right?
I mean, the Marvels is.
That's going to lose. Like, I think that's going to lose a lot of money too.
Let's see.
And it's not because it's a female led, like in part because it's female led, but mainly just because the juice isn't there right now.
Yeah. And especially like the juice wasn't there when the original Captain Marvel came out.
No, that actually made a shit ton of money.
What was
shockingly, it made like $1.2 billion.
Fucking way.
Yeah, I swear to God. It came out in like 2018 though. And that was like peak.
God damn.
How much did it make?
Yeah, 1.1.
Yeah, I was looking through a list the other day.
Like, I would have guessed like 700 and like entirely domestic.
Yeah, it's in like the top 20 all time. Did it do well
international or something?
No, I actually think it did like a lot of its business here. Because I was looking, the only reason I noticed that was because I was looking through like top earning domestic movies of all time. Captain Marvel was in the list and I was like, holy shit.
Let's see. All territories. International was a big bulk, but
oh, it was.
All right, it was 700 million of it.
All right, well, still 600 million in the States is not anything to sneeze at.
Yeah, let's see. I'm curious how it did like the other like the BRIC countries like did not even air in China. Was that right? That can't be right.
They saw a woman and they're like, nope.
There's no fucking way that didn't. They didn't even air it there. That's crazy.
And it made one.
Oh wait, no, it did. Yeah.
Okay. That's a thought. If they made 1.2 without China, that's insane.
They made 150 million from China, and let's see, India, India 14 million. They did not dig Captain Marvel. Wow. Who's the other biggest market? There had to be like another like a massive one. Huh? Guess not.
I will say I do think they maybe fixed Brie Larson's character.
Yeah.
Just going off the trailers.
Damn.
A little bit.
I can't believe I made that much money. That's great for the character. I just assumed I think maybe I got too wrapped up in the whole, I don't know, fucking discourse surrounding it or something like that. And just like how the
man, that was miserable. Wasn't it?
Sucked ass. Except for the one guy who saw Captain Marvel 500 times. He's the reason this made so much money. But yeah, so I don't know.
Do you think there's a guy out there so that guy saw it 146 times. Yeah. Do you think there's another guy out there that saw it like 145 times and he's like, fuck me.
I know one Twitter account that's going to see the Marvels.
Oh, yeah. That guy is going to... He's very excited.
Should be in jail. So Deadpool 3 is... It's the Marvels Deadpool 3 in 2024, which is not going to happen because of the strike.
Deadpool 3 will make a lot of money.
Yes. And... Well, it's just saying it's not going to come out in 2024, I don't think, just based on the strike.
Oh, no.
Captain America Brave New World. Thunderbolts. Forgot about that.
Jesus Christ. They haven't even started. Wait, no, I think they actually did start doing that already.
And starring Sebastian Stan, Hannah John Kamen
as Ghost. Yeah.
Wyatt Russell as John Walker, Julie Louise Dreyfus as Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, Florence Pugh, David Harbour, Olga Korolenko. Oh, she's Taskmaster. I forgot.
The one that they fucked up.
Yeah,
really
exactly.
Fucked that character. Be honest, that's about the same level as what they're throwing out for the Avengers.
The filming is expected to occur in Atlanta following the strike.
Why would Sebastian Stan not be in the Avengers?
That's a great question.
That's a big star. That's a big star.
Like, that has legitimate superpowers.
Yeah.
Blade, Fantastic Four, then Kang Dynasty, then Secret Wars. Which
I don't know if Blade's ever going to come out.
I mean, it would be such a fucking embarrassing loss because they trotted fucking Mahershala Ali out on stage. He was so pumped for it. They had to bail in the script because it was so bad and like, damn. Anyway, that's been Captain Marvel or superhero talk. I do think that we just need like a year-long break from being spammed with quantity over quality.
Yeah.
And then that'll get us back into it. And I do think
they're saying they're going to do that, but they also love money. So,
yeah.
I mean,
I wonder what shows Marvel's going to pump out during this time, too. Because
they got to be canceling some of these. Yeah. There's like Echo, like no fucking way, right?
Oh, I forgot about Echo.
Zombie. They have a zombie show coming. They got a lot of shit where I'm like, this isn't happening.
Let's see. Television series.
They should just make all their TV animated.
People
will watch that. It's probably just as expensive as doing.
It'll be Echo, Ironheart, Agatha Coven of
Ironheart,
Chaos.
Ironheart, fuck. Agatha.
Dude, Daredevil Born Again, which I'm sure that'll do well because people do love seeing him again as Daredevil, our boy. And then What If, which I don't know anybody that watched that first season. Really. Like Robbie Fox said, he watched like a few episodes.
I watched the episodes people told me to watch because I watched the first one. I was like, it was the Captain Britain episode with Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
That's like, what's her name?
Untitled Wakanda series, Spider-Man freshman year, Spider-Man sophomore year, Marvel Zombies, which you're talking about, Wonder Man, Untitled Nova series, and then What If, and then Vision Quest. What was the Vision Quest about? I forgot. Whatever. Anyway, all this stuff's coming out later. I just think we just need a fucking break. We need a break big time.
We're tired.
Reload.
We're going on strike.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be a perfect way or an excuse for Marvel to just be like, yeah, we're going to cancel some of these and come back later. Okay. So, and not end up looking like David Zaslav, just canning movies left and right. Okay. So, and the last thing is just the SAG stuff. Studios cutting down trees on the picket line, giving them shade. That was one of the pettiest.
Wait, what happened? Sorry.
So, they had all these trees that were that basically put shade onto like the picket line area in front of I forget which studio it was. And the studios had someone come and cut down all the trees so that they didn't have shade while they marched. And it's just one of the pettiest moves ever. And I think they brought a grievance to like some LA court judge or some shit. But like, it's one of the pettiest and just fucked up things. Like, you know, people are going to instantly call that out.
Why would it's like, you already know people think you're evil.
Exactly. Like, it's just an unbelievable shit PR move. And I wonder, they didn't even hear a quote of like why they said they did it. Tom Cruise allegedly asked SAG to sign some waivers to film. And they asked him as a counter, like, hey, come join the picket line. And he was very noncommittal on it.
Tom Cruise couldn't go on the picket. He can't. He's too big of a star.
I think it becomes a media circus.
Yeah.
If you throw him on the line.
Then it becomes the Tom Cruise show, not the strike show.
I think that, I tweeted this yesterday. It's weird with the big stars on the picket line because they obviously increase morale for all the actors who this is for. This is for 99% of the actors who like struggle for like a livable wage, basically, and not the 1% of dudes like Tom Cruise who don't need this. I'm sure they do great for morale there. But every single time I see a video of any of these people, it's just 5,000 replies of someone just like a screen cap of their celeb net worth. I mean, like, oh, this guy wants more of my money. Oh, this guy wants more of my money. Why is he striking? These guys want more money. And it's just like the general public, if this is at all about trying to increase your awareness and anything like that, like, yeah, you will get more people being like, oh, the actors are on strike if they didn't know about it by now. But no one is going to be, if they aren't already convinced in the virtue of the strike, no one's going to see like fucking Mark Ruffalo on the line and be like, oh, maybe this is right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be like bitching about acting. Like, that's never going to be the case. I think it's something that the studios use to manipulate against them. And I think if you, in my mind, the best way for these, the big, like the 1% of these actors to contribute to this is you need to be obviously following the guild rules and not even considering acting or signing waivers or any of this shit. You need to be unequivocally vocal in your support of the strike. And these 1% should really just be like, if you want to scare the studios, damage the studios, put your money together and help all these people pay their rent while they're on strike, because that threatens the studios, because that increases the longevity of the strike, because yeah. their whole idea, and the executives have said as much, they just want to fucking starve these people out until the point where they can't fuck, they're evicted from their houses. And they know that there's a breaking point for these people. And if you have this 1% pulling together and helping these people live and continue to strike, and while you yourself are not working and putting more pressure on the studio, I think that is what is legitimately detrimental. Not a video of like Mark Ruffalo in his fucking painter pants walking around on the yeah. strike line being like, yeah, actors deserve money. And because that doesn't, I think it, great, if it does, if it helps them around the line, great. If I was an actor on the line, my morale would be way more up knowing I was going to be able to pay my electric bill
yeah.
when I got home.
Yeah. Also like SAG actor, I mean, there's 50,000 SAG actors.
More.
So like the average actor's salary, I think I saw it was like $27,000, which yeah. I don't care where you live in the U.S. That is not going to, I mean, you can't really live. You can't live off that. Yeah. And you're most likely in L.A. or Atlanta, one of the two. And so, yeah, you're not surviving on that.
Exactly. And I think on its face, like, yes, you of course, an actor should be supporting the strike. But the support doesn't mean they need to be sitting there on the line. And that's not a cop out for Cruise at all. I think like Cruise made what $100 million off of Top Gun just based off
yeah.
this cut of the back end deal or whatever. Like you throw some of that, help these dudes pay their bills. And I think that is how you threaten a studio.
Yeah. Tom, if you want to get your remaining haters on your side, there's a very easy thing you could do.
Yeah. I mean, he throws like fucking $10 million into the fund for some of these actors to continue going on strike. Like that, it's just that's in my head. And I know it's hard to make it sound like it's not like a bootlicker thing. Like, oh, well, these actors are too good to be on the strike. I don't think that's it.
No.
I just think it's a way that studios manipulate the extremely stupid general public. And we've seen it in Instagram comments, Facebook comments, all this shit. These people are so fucking dumb that when you post anything about the strike, about like, yeah, this actor said this about the strike, that's just, you see in the comments.
Yeah, it's immediately like, oh, he's worth, I'm like, well, they're not striking for them.
it's all these people saying like, oh, it's for that. It's they just, actors just want to make more money. Look how much money they made on this. Look at their net worth. Look at this. That's not what it's fucking for. And these people are too stupid to put it together. And I think that is not threatening the studios. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like as long as you are using your platform or as a big actor to be very vocally supportive and you are helping these people who need the money to pay their bills. Like I think that is the best way.
Also, one thing with the Tom Cruise waiver. That was like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
When he asked, it wasn't like he waited for he saw it coming and he was like, well, I'm going to have a movie coming out like that week. Like, is there a chance I can promote it? Well,
yeah,
like,
I just want to promote it, by the way. It was not for filming. But yeah, so that's been the SAG stuff. We obviously, like we said in the last episode, super on the actor side on this, not on the studio side, especially after going through all those, like, I think we went through the entire CEO group total comp packages. It is fucking obscene. And the amount of money, I think it makes it even worse seeing how much money that they spend on like Secret Invasion and
oh, yeah. it really makes it so much worse.
It makes it look horrible.
Netflix just scrapped that.
Yeah,
He-Man, like they're like already $80 million deep on this He-Man. Was it He-Man?
Yeah, something like that.
Was it Conan? It was one of it was like one of those 80 some properties. They're doing some reboot of it, like a series, and they were already $80 million deep on production. Just scrapped it. And then
I think they said, what did they say? I saw the report recently. They said like they had X amount of money in cash reserves, Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Netflix is cooking right now. That password thing they did, it worked.
Yeah. Unfortunately. I mean, but it's weird because it's like a one-time shot of revenue for them, if that makes sense. Let's see. Oh, the movie critic. I saw them post it and it was an absurd number that Netflix was had in free money, or not free money, but money available, and they still weren't paying actors. They upped their free cash flow to $5 billion this year, and they still refuse to pay the writers and actors, which is just absurd. But anyway, that's been SAG After Talk. Of course, I'm sure there's plenty of different found or places you can donate money to the actors, which again, this isn't like you're donating money to fucking Matt Damon. You're donating to guy who's, hey, that guy in a show that only you watched. Okay. So we're going to do our draft of James Bond characters. We're doing director, Bond, M, Q, a villain, a love interest, and a MISC. But before we get to that, let's talk about Game Time. Game Time, the exclusive ticketing partner of Barstool Sports, created by fans for fans. It's a ticketing app that makes it easier than ever to score last-minute tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. And they guarantee the lowest price. A whole bunch of concerts and everything coming up. MLB is still right now in full swing. I used it to go see a Yankee game actually last year. I haven't been to one yet this year. But
I've used them three times this year actually to see Yankees. I'm using them next week to go see Blink-182.
Blink-182, yeah.
There we go.
You get Drake, Billy Joel, Mets if you're a loser, and a bunch of other different baseball stuff. But I'm definitely going to use them to go to another Yankee game this year because it is just it's an awesome app. And like, there's one great feature about it that we talk about every time we mention Game Time is that it's very easy to transfer tickets.
Yes.
That is, which is a pain usually, but on Game Time, it's great. They have the biggest last minute price drops and can be found on the seats that you could never thought you could buy. It just takes two taps and 10 seconds to get your ticket. Once you buy your tickets, they're delivered directly to your phone, no printer needed. The app also allows you to easily share tickets with friends, like we mentioned. Skip the hassle and enjoy the moment. Download the Game Time app or go to the website, enter your email, and redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Remember, go to Game Time, the Game Time app, the website, enter your email, redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. You can go first. Who's your director for our movie?
Listen, I got in here late, and we were talking before this started. You said Guy Ritchie, and then I immediately was like, no, you can't do Guy Ritchie. And then I thought, well, what if you did do Guy Ritchie? So I am going to start with a Guy Ritchie-directed James Bond movie. He's as Cockney as they come, but like when he hits, when James, like I really like Guy Ritchie movies, especially when they're super Guy Ritchie. Like,
Gentlemen, dude,
like so good. Gentlemen should not have been like it. Actually, should have been good. Like, I don't know why we thought that movie was going to stink. It had terrible trailers, I guess, but it ended up being just so good, and it's grown on me. Like every time I watch it, I'm like, this is just a really fucking good
especially
movie.
Hugh Grant, man,
and Hugh Grant is great in it. Have a drink with me, Ray.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to start with a Guy Ritchie directed, and I think the Brits would love that. That's like their patron saint of filmmaking. This guy, like if you ask any like bloke at a fucking pub three pints deep who their favorite director is, there's a good shot they say Guy Ritchie. So I'm going to roll with it. Sure. And he's got the crime, like he has like roots in crime. Like I know he hasn't done.
And espionage. Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, yeah, man. He did do Man from U.N.C.L.E., which is a movie I like.
And a great spy movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to start there.
Oh, man. Elizabeth Debicki as a Bond woman.
You'd have to get
I didn't put her as the love interest, which I regret now. But you need to get a very tall Bond, yeah.
You'd have to have a very tall blonde. Tall Bond. She's the tall blonde. Yeah. Goddamn, she's tall.
She's like fucking 6'8".
Have you ever seen the pictures of her, like, edited to make her look even taller?
Yes.
She'll be next to, like, a guy. He'll look like he's 4 feet tall.
It's like that picture of Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars.
Where that's not edited, though. That one's insane because it's not edited.
He is such a tiny man. Okay, so Guy Ritchie, I think that would work too. It's just like what the line would be on the comedy part of the crime comedy, which like I think the Man from U.N.C.L.E. told that line, but like it couldn't be as funny as the Man from U.N.C.L.E.
No, it can't be that funny, but it can be funny. I think it's allowed to be funny.
I think that's a good baseline though.
Yeah.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
And you got to do it like you can't. The thing with Bond, and I think the thing that Sam Mendes really did was he took it in a different direction.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it would be smart to try and do something different every time you get a new iteration of Bond in there.
For my director, I picked David Fincher.
Ooh.
I think a David Fincher Bond movie. In this Bond, in my iteration of Bond, would be more of an unraveling of a mystery.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, like, instead of it being like, you know, here, big action, big this, it's more almost detective Bond.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're following him trying to figure out whatever your big thing you need to figure out is in every Bond movie. Like, it's following along that chase for him, and I think he would be so good at that, and the British would probably hate the fact that he would be directing it, but like he would be, I think, an exceptional Bond director, depending on the type of Bond movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, give me Fincher anything. I mean, realistically, give me Fincher. You can give me a Fincher Scooby-Doo movie, I'll be in on it.
I'm trying to think, and it's weird because he doesn't really have a movie off the top of my head where it's like that would work in Bond, but like think like The Game or something.
The movie he has coming out this year
yes,
is going to be very I think it's an espionage movie. The killer.
The killer with Fassbender.
It's based on a comic book.
I'm going with Fincher. I think he would be his Bond if it was, again, more of like it doesn't need to be like a mega gritty thing, but like something where you're following him and it's Fincher unraveling a story and only the way he really does it. I think it would be absolutely awesome.
No, it's not espionage, but it is like
a killer
psychological thing. Action thriller.
And the psychological part of a Bond movie, like a spy, like, can you imagine like all these Bond movies where it's like a fucking nuclear bomb timer going down? You don't really feel the psychological pressure of Bond in that moment. No. Like, can you think of that? Like the actual pressure that spy would be under, like Fincher could really give it to you in that way.
Skyfall is my favorite Bond movie, and that one's easily the most, like, it's, you're getting into the psyche of Bond like through the whole movie, like him aging and like him dealing with that.
Exactly. Your Bond.
My Bond, and this has been fan cast ever since a movie came out last year, and I think with good reason. I do think he'd be a great fit. Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
I do think he'd be a fantastic fit. Different look. Obviously, he's a little bigger than I think we probably ever. He'd be the biggest one we've ever had, wouldn't he? He's good 6'2".
I was going to say.
Connery was big.
6'2 might be generous. We saw him in person. He was like maybe a little
taller. Oh, really? Well, I guess his build just makes him look bigger than he is. Hollywood. But he's definitely would be the most jacked.
Yes. Bond was thick. Or Craig was thick.
Craig was like short and like thick. Yeah. And then Connery was like... like old timey big, you know what I mean? Like just that old timey, like he just looks like he probably used to work in a lumber yard.
He was literally a bodybuilder, Sean Connery too, which is the craziest part.
There you go. So Aaron Taylor Johnson not only has, like we just talked about, the physique for it. I think he has the suaveness, like the cool suave, like he's just very classically handsome. Like that's all it is. And he's cool and charismatic. And that's Bond. And not like over the top, like charming you, like maybe... Hugh Grant, like we were just talking about, like just charming you with his British charm. Like he's just, if I had a girlfriend, wouldn't let him around her. Well, I wouldn't let her around him.
Depends on your girlfriend's age, I guess. How what was his name in Bullet Train? It was like Lemon or something, right?
It was Lemon or Tangerine.
Yeah, I think it was Lemon, but he was really good in that. But imagine like that same character, short hair.
Like or even why not go longer hair?
Would be a way to go different, I guess.
Obviously, you can't do a mustache, but longer hair would be cool.
For my Bond, and by the way, I always say it, Aaron Taylor Johnson in Outlaw King, unfucking believable acting performance. He is so goddamn good in that and very underappreciated. I'm going to go with Tom Hiddleston as mine.
Yeah.
And I'll explain to you why.
I mean, that was in my last four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll explain to you why. And it's for a good reason, besides just the fact that he would just, on its own, make a good Bond. Like he's got the very Britishy look. When he's in a suit, he looks hot as hell. And he has that as Loki, that sort of like dangerous sexuality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which like always just kind of fits with the Bond.
If you go to Tumblr right now and look up like Marvel, like he's gonna be the number one. People are feral for that man.
Yeah. I think he just kind of has a good look for it. And especially as like a he's not someone I traditionally think of as like mega jacked or anything like that. I think he's the perfect amount of slender for a return to that type of Bond.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he'd just be a really good fit.
Have you ever seen him dance?
No.
He's like
a good dancer?
Oh, he's an incredible dancer. He's like professionally trained. It's fantastic.
Not fair.
Oh, he's got like, I've seen him. He's great in interviews. If you ever went, like he does, like he's really good on the late night stuff.
You know what? I'm going to swap. We were going to do M next. I want to do the villain next. Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do your next villain.
Wait, let me make sure I have this in the right order.
So we're going to do villain.
I wrote these names down, but they're all just so British where I'm like, did I? All right. So we.
Villain MQ, love interest, MISC.
All right. So this is where we've been talking about him. I'm bringing him back. Hugh Grant. I'm bringing Hugh Grant back as a villain.
What type of villain, though?
I'm not sure yet. But I liked him. He wasn't a full-on villain in The Gentlemen, but I like that. I like that conniving, like maybe like he's a weapons dealer.
I'm thinking like he's a good version of the Pedro Pascal in Wonder Woman 84. You know what I mean? Where he's like a personality of charisma, and I think they did that in one of the Brosnan Bonds with not Terrence Stamp. Fuck's his name? I forget. But I think they did a version of that. I think it was in the North Korea Bond movie. I forget which one that was.
Like a more charismatic villain, though, which is, I think, something we didn't get much of, or really not at all, in the Mendez films, the Craig films. Mm-hmm. I do think there were good villains there. It's just they weren't like over the top charismatic the way Bond villains in the past. I mean, think like Goldmember. Mm-hmm. Like that's such a very like bombastic performance. Like I would like something like that. Mm-hmm. Something a little bit more. I mean, it would fit with Guy Ritchie, like over the top. I think it'd be fun.
You're so perfect.
A more fun Bond movie.
He's so perfectly like gross and seedy in that goddamn movie.
Yeah. He's kind of, I mean, he kind of is.
In real life too. Yeah. Like people forget. Okay. For my villain, I'm going to pick Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
And for my version, he's going to be the brother of Tom Hiddleston. Cause I think they kind of look alike.
Ooh.
And this will be a good little twist. Think of it almost in the way in the Brosnan Bond with Brosnan and Sean Bean.
Okay.
You know, they do like,
you know, Sean Bean was actually my consideration to bring him back.
He was a good villain. And I think that a Hiddleston Fassbender dynamic would be amazing to watch. And I think that that being part of the mystery, like unraveling that is his brother or something like that, or if Fassbender was also a 00
yeah.
and turned or something like that, I think it could be really, really cool. And I think obviously Fassbender's an incredible actor.
He's a fantastic actor. He just has a terrible agent.
Just an awful, awful, god awful agent. Like
one of the best actors working today. And for some reason, he can't find a good fucking movie for the past 10 years.
And I mean, a Fincher Hiddleston, James Bond. It would be so goddamn good. And they do kind of, I mean, I'm not crazy, right? They do kind of look similar enough. Like they could be brothers, not like identical twins, obviously, but like,
no, but like he would be the older brother. Assuming
I would put him as the older brother,
probably about the same age ish.
Here,
yeah, no, that's, I like that fit.
Yeah, that's them next to each other. I mean,
okay. Yeah. They do look like each other.
I mean, look at that. They could be brothers.
Yeah.
I think that
maybe different moms, same dad.
They have the same color hair and all that. They look pretty similar. But I think that them as brothers would be a very interesting storyline. And one, again, that Fincher could unravel in a very cool way. Who's your M?
My M. I'm going back to the male M's, by the way. I love Judy.
Judy Dench.
I mean, if I could bring her back again, I would, because I thought she was awesome.
Such a great voice.
Yes, and I'm going with another great voice here. I'm going with Jeremy Irons, who I think has a fantastic voice. I love Jeremy. I've never seen Jeremy Irons in anything and been like disappointed in him. Like he's just great and one of the all-time voices in Hollywood. I thought he was a fantastic Alfred.
And Ozymandias too.
And exactly, Ozymandias. I think he would be really like cool, measured. Like he plays that like always in control, knows everything that's happening. Like I think he'd be great there.
He's a great pick. It's just such a goddamn good voice. He did one of those Three Musketeers movies that, like, if I remember, or maybe it was The Man in the Iron Mask. I forget, but whatever it was everyone around him was not particularly good, and he was incredible. And everything I see him in, honestly, like you're saying, he's usually the best part or among the best parts.
I was so disappointed when they didn't bring him back for the Lion King remake to voice Scar. He was so good as Scar.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Delroy Lindo.
Okay.
So Delroy Lindo is English. He was
really,
he lived in England until he was like a teenager or something like that. I think like 16 or 17, he moved to Canada. Delroy Lindo. And I think the reason that this popped out for me was his scene in Defy Bloods, like his monologue, Shakespearean monologue.
That was the scene.
It was so goddamn good. And he is like everything you see him in. He's an incredible actor, just an insane talent. And I think he's a guy that has like a very good, like you were saying, like measured, like I think he has a very good measured presence, and like he could be like somebody who Bond is like, you know, again, the traditional Bond is almost like kind of disrespectful to an M.
Yeah.
An M that he's more afraid of and more like, let's say, respectful of at the very least, because Delroy Lindo is like 6'5", big physical presence. And also, I think just he's just an incredible actor. And I think I'd love to see him in more.
He's a fantastic actor. I don't know how much the Brits are going to like that pick.
He's British. He's British.
That's not because of that.
Yeah.
What do we have next?
Q.
Reuniting another Guy Ritchie, former Guy Ritchie actor, going with Henry Golding, which would be a good pick for Bond, too. But
is he too jacked to play Q?
He might be, but he's hot. Also kind of, he's a little, I mean, he's very hot. Put some glasses on him. Put some glasses, Photoshop some glasses on Henry Golding.
I think he's too sexy to be Q. Q's got to be a nerd like Ben Winshaw.
What if we had a sexy Q?
Could be a game-changing way to look at Bond. Can you imagine that? Like he's competing with Q for women? Like that would be a really funny twist on Bond.
What would happen is there would just be endless Wattpads filled with like fan fiction
Yeah.
between Bond and Q.
Bond and Q fucking each other. Yeah.
Oh my God. fan art that would come, the Rule 34 art that would come out of that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Fuck anything. But I think that could be kind of good. That'd be good.
I'll be honest. I really just want Henry Golding and more shit.
Yeah.
It's weird that he hasn't been in
Snake Eyes, baby.
Yeah. I mean,
he was in The Gentleman and he was so good. He was in, what was his name in that?
Something very racist. Tiger.
Something. Yeah. It was
Dry Eye.
Dry Eye. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not great.
Cool name. For my cue, I'm gonna pick, and I believe I'm pronouncing it right, Richard Ayoade, right?
Oh yeah, that's a great. Oh, that's a great pick. The It Crowd.
What a fucking. He's very funny.
Yeah.
Perfect. I think he's basically like an alternate universe version of Ben Whishaw.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think I've thought in the past and gotten them mixed up before.
Yeah. Yeah, he's him and Ben Whishaw are just like multiverse versions of each other. But I also think Richard Ayoade is way funnier.
Yeah.
And a little more charismatic.
Have you ever watched The It Crowd?
Like a few, I think a little bit of it.
Yeah, same. And it's like very British, but yeah, he's hilarious.
I've seen, I mean, I think it's a TikTok clip show for me where I started watching and I was like, oh, I'll watch it now. And then I'm like, I'll go back to it later.
Who's the other actor in that too? He's great.
Oh, fuck. See, this is the problem. I always confuse it with Peep Show, which is very funny.
God, he's been in a lot of stuff. He was in.
Let me just look this up. I don't know why I'm making this hard on ourselves.
Is he in Bridesmaids?
Chris O'Dowd, right? Yes, Chris O'Dowd.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Matt Berry. God, I fucking love Matt Berry. Matt Berry in a James Bond would be so good.
Oh, can you imagine?
I don't know where, but
I don't know how you make it work, but
God damn, you'd be funny. You are really the most devious bastard in New York City.
Yeah, have you watched the new season yet at
Not
all?
Not yet.
Dude, it's back and it's like just, it might be as funny as it's ever. The first two episodes were very funny.
He fucking kills me. He's so goddamn funny. That whole Jackie Daytona episode with him and like Mark Hamill was so fucking funny. Oh, goddamn it. I love that show so much. I guess not enough since I haven't watched it the new season.
Didn't really market it coming out.
I was about to say, I didn't even know it came out.
Yeah, I didn't even see like posts on social and I cover the shit. Like it just showed up on my Hulu. I was like, wait, it's back? Just like on Hulu. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm watching this.
Okay, love interest.
This one was tough because I feel like they pick a lot of lesser known actresses.
Yeah.
And in the past, like they've even just gone like, even not even actresses, just a really hot girl, like a model.
Don't fucking get film Twitter started. Don't pick Eva Green again. You know, those fucking horny freaks go nuts on her.
I mean, it's her and they love the Bond girl. Lea Seydoux.
Yeah.
There's one account I follow that I think just posts a topless picture of Lea Seydoux every morning.
Dude, her and Eva Green, it is weird that they think like all decorum of being not horny goes out the window with them. I don't get it.
The other one is Sofia Belushi.
For sure,
they go nuts for her. But I'm going to go. I wanted to do Florence Pugh, but she just honestly does not feel like a Bond character. I couldn't see her in a Bond movie. She would make a good Q, actually. No, she's too hot.
Mm.
She's so hot.
That's the same problem with Henry Golding.
I'm going to go Anya Taylor-Joy.
Mm.
She just got that unique look to her, tall, slender,
elegant.
Very elegant. I think she can do action or else she wouldn't be doing Furiosa.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it from her yet, right? She's never, she hasn't done any action yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think she could. So, yeah. I mean, I'd like to see it.
I like Anya Taylor-Joy for that. And it would depend on how they use the character. Because like some love interests are kind of just like there.
They
for
just
Bond.
Stand. It's, yeah. They have a problem with that sometimes where they're just fucking there.
Yeah. And then other ones like,
just there.
They get to be active. Like, remember how good Ended Armors was in that?
Best part. I mean, just best part of the movie.
Fucking cool.
That's the only, it's really the only reason that, it's not the only reason, but that 20 minutes she was in is pretty much 90% of my hype for her John Wick movie. She was so good.
And then ghosted just, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
My love interest, I'm surprised you didn't pick her. Who do you think I'm going to say? Very surprised, just based off recent events, that you didn't pick her.
Based off recent events?
Recent movies.
Hayley Atwell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about her. She's a little too old is the issue.
How old? She can't be more than like...
She's like 42.
I mean, for one, it's usually one movie. You know what I mean?
I guess that works also with Hiddleston, too.
Yeah.
But I have a 29-year-old.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Well, actually.
Yeah. Oh, damn. You just, shit. You just backed yourself into making it work.
Fuck. Which, God, if you don't know what we're laughing about, Aaron Taylor Johnson is married to a
much older woman.
I mean, she's much, and they met when he was 16 on set. Yep. So it's a little, there is definitely, if it's not problematic, it's definitely shady.
Yes. But Haley Atwell, I think, as a one movie Bond girl, I think it'd be really good. I mean, even just watching her Mission Impossible, she has the physicality to do something cool. She's obviously incredibly attractive, as is Tom Hiddleston. Them together just like, seems like a natural fit. And she got the cool British accent.
She does have a, I mean, she was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was fantastic Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, beat for beat with charisma, like charismatically, like being able to keep up with that cast is no small feat. Like being able to be in the same scenes with Tom Cruise for 50% of your movie and just not miss a beat. Like, she was great. And I don't know how she hasn't been in just more stuff. Like,
yeah,
she's been in stuff, don't get me wrong, just more, like, bigger shit.
Yeah, I think her in a kinetic Bond girl role, like, much like what you're looking for, like an action Bond girl, like, that's kind of what I'm going for here too. Your MISC.
My MISC is gonna go hand in hand with the Guy Ritchie. I want it to be rated R. That's gonna be my MISC.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so they're allowed to cuss. I want to hear James Bond.
You are allowed to swear.
I want to hear James Bond call someone a cunt.
I mean, that would, yeah, imagine an Australian Bond.
I mean, I would love to see other people do,
like, but like other territory Bonds. Like, not, I don't mean like a separate character. Just like you know how they all do. They're all under the Commonwealth or whatever. Like, a Canadian Bond would stink.
So when we posted the Nolan news, the immediate reactions were like, is Killian Murphy, could we get Killian? I'm like, they'll never do Killian Murphy. He's Irish. Like, they just won't do it. Like,
also just not.
It's just the one thing I think they will never budge on. Like, they might eventually do a Black Bond, or, you know, it's maybe a different race. Like, yeah, like they could do an Indian Bond, but they had to be British.
Yeah.
Like, I think they will never budge on that.
Rated R for you, and my MISC is going to be, I don't know how it fits in here, but Daniel Kaluuya. Just in some part, in some measure, in this movie, I picked Fassbender as my villain because I liked the idea of the brother thing, but fitting in Daniel Kaluuya somehow would be amazing because him and we talk about it a lot.
I think he's the best actor working.
He's so fucking good.
I think he is the best actor working right now.
I don't know. Maybe he's the guy, like the boss of Fassbender. You know what I mean? Like, that's the person he betrays the MI6 for, or
maybe he's Fassbender's muscle.
No, I don't like muscle. He's too good for that. I think something where he has a multi-movie arc, so like he could be the boss of Fassbender. But him in multiple movies, obviously incredible in everything he does, but him in Widows,
it's the only really good part of that movie, and it's fucking unbelievable.
He is that basketball court scene is just one of the coolest, and the way that Steve McQueen shot that too.
I mean, like, yeah, he shot it perfectly, like circling around them while they're just he's just staring at them.
Yeah,
just
he's just so goddamn good.
And he fucking voice acted, and he was the best fucking voice actor in the recent Spider-Man movie. Like,
he's got a cool ass voice, cool British voice. I don't know how again to fit this in, but I think him being like a multi-part villain, big bad, like you know, I don't want to like think of Mission Impossible like Sean Harris,
yeah,
like him being in that type of role. Like, he's just so fucking good at that villain menacing role. He would also be a great Bond, I think, too, but like,
yes, he would.
In this case, I think in this movie that I built, he would be, him and Fincher would make absolute goddamn magic together.
Yeah,
it would be unreal,
dude, if they casted Kaluuya. I mean, it'd be one of their best castings ever, but people would fucking lose their they would lose their, it would be worse than Brexit.
Yeah. No, it would be. Like, they'd be insufferable, those fucking red-faced assholes.
It would be worse than when the Queen died. They're just losing their fucking minds over there.
Yeah.
I mean, whole island goes under.
It's got nothing to do with race, mate. He's be going,
just read Ian Fleming's work, mate.
Yeah.
He says he's got dark hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, dude, they'd be insufferable. That's why I would love, if they cast an American as Bond, it would be...
That's just the one thing I don't think, though. Like, I was even thinking when I was looking through directors, I was like, Paul Greengrass would be interesting. But it's like, the Broccoli's will never get Paul Greengrass. Yeah. Like, I even think David Fincher, like, I don't even, like, it might be a push. Like, that's insane to be like, maybe David Fincher. But it's like, it's such a British franchise. It's just so British.
Like, just, I'm trying to think of like the most American actor they could cast as Bond. That would be like within reason.
Matt Damon.
Yeah. Oh my God. Can you imagine Matt Damon Bond?
Oh my God.
Oh, first of all, that'd be horrible. But like them, they're freaking. Oh, thanks for telling me. Or like Ben Affleck Bond. They'd be so goddamn mad. It'd
Ben Affleck, crazy. Well, he did a British accent in that one Ridley Scott movie. They Matt both Dean? Did.
Oh, Ben Affleck. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they both did. Right?
Top action stars, American. Even like Gerard Butler being in one of these, I think they'd be mad at. Dwayne Johnson. The Rock as Bond. Holy shit.
Can The Rock do an accent?
No. God.
I don't think he can do an accent.
Awesome. Vin Diesel. They would lose their fucking minds. Holy shit. Any Q. of these people.
Q, can you show me what this thing does?
Him even trying a British accent. I can't even picture it. Will Smith. Oh, man.
Cheerio.
That would be a fucking double whammy for them. What's the Scott Atkins? Why is he the fucking only one on this list? I know he's a good action star, but Mark Wahlberg.
I mean, Chris Evans is literally Captain America.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Just imagine him doing an accent too. It's very funny. Lawrence Fishburne is a top action actor.
Say hey to your mom for me.
Danny Trejo. Samuel L. Jackson. Whatever. Okay, so our movies are, I have David Fincher, Tom Hiddleston, Michael Fassbender, Delroy Lindo, Richard Ayoade, Hayley Atwell, Daniel Kaluuya. You have Guy Ritchie, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Hugh Grant, Jeremy Irons, Henry Golding, Anya Taylor-Joy, and that the movie is rated R. I would love to see either of these.
Yeah. These be incredible. I'm ready for more Bond. I don't think we need a Matt. I think they've said they're going to take a bit of a break, but it's one of those franchises where they really don't pump it out too hard, and it's not like it's got a bunch of series rolling out alongside of it, and there's not a ton of spy movies coming out at the same time. So it's like, why take a massive break? Like, just pump them out every 3 to 4 years. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, exactly. That's not like some vaulted property like that.
Yeah,
and plus, they're so used to multiple iterations.
It's not like Daniel. Like, people are like, oh, nobody else can ever play the role. Like, it's just one of those roles where people are just going to continue to play it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's built into the package, basically.
I would like the next Bond to come out in, like, 2025, 2026. But I think it'll be, like, 2028.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks.
Which means that probably most of our picks will be aged out, depending. Although, how old was Craig when he got Bond? It was, like, what, 2006?
40, yeah, probably early Craig to mid-40s.
Born in 68. 78. Yeah, I mean, he was getting there. I mean, I guess that they said, right, if I remember correctly, that they wanted the next Bond to be able to run through multiple movies in the franchise.
Yeah.
That might hurt a little bit, but who knows? I mean, Connery was doing these when he looked like he was 90, like when he was actually 30.
And so. I don't think Bond has to be the most physical person.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's got so many gadgets and so much espionage if you want to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Especially with David Fincher, like, be a lot more sleuthing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's the episode. We'll be back on Tuesday with our... Are we doing combo? I forget. Are we doing just the one?
Oh, what do you mean? We're doing both.
Just want to make sure. So we're going to be doing the combination review. Make sure you see Oppenheimer and Barbie. Obviously, you are if you listen to a movie podcast, unless something's going severely wrong in your life. If you need childcare, something, fuck that. Leave your kid in your house. Go watch Oppenheimer on
7. Tweet us your pictures from the theater. We'll retweet. We'll repost them. This is a big weekend for the movies. Ooh. We want to hype it up.
Should we? I'm trying to think of it. The same way that I dressed up as Henry Cavill in Mission Impossible. What if I just put a full Oppenheimer fit?
I was trying to find a pink cowgirl. A pink cowboy hat. I'm a boy.
Yeah, sure.
And I couldn't find one. So
maybe, I mean, all I need is like a fucking really loose fitting pants.
Yeah, this is what I'm going with.
The clothes
works. Yeah. Black and pink.
I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing Barbie today in half an hour or an hour or so.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm very excited for that. But yeah, make sure you go watch those two movies. We've been pumped for this all year. So go check them out. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
Stella Blue Coffee's new canned lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, You're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.